Welcome back to Just Grab Radio on bjpenn.com. I'm your host, Cole Sheldon. For episode 5, we got 4 guests for you. I know we normally do 3, but we had to get 4 guests for you. This is a really solid show. First up, we talked to the August 8th headliner, Alexei Oleinik, to preview his fight against Derek Lewis, where Wynn puts him in the division, why he doesn't want to go 5 rounds, why he doesn't like 5 round fights, especially if you're heavyweight. We also discussed how long on scale going. He's 43. If he wins here, that's 60 career wins. You're lucky to find someone that has 60 fights, and he has 60 career wins if he wins this one. Next up, we're joined by Benil Dariush. Dariush discusses his fight against Scott Holtzman, why he's not fighting a ranked guy. He's on a 4-fight winning streak. He is ranked 14. He kind of deserves that ranked guy. He said he was even disappointed. Like, he knows Scott's a tough guy, but he said, to be honest, he was really disappointed. This wasn't a ranked guy. A really insightful chat on his training camp, what a win over Scott does for him. Next up, we are joined by Scott Holtzman to preview this Dariush fight. He knows this is a big opportunity for him. He's been grinding. His last one was Jim Miller. We talk about the fight against Dariush, how Dariush is probably going to want to take his down to the ground, but he has a lot of knockout power. We've seen Dariush get knocked out before. So I think this is a good spot for Holtzman. If he wins, he's a ranked guy. He can start climbing those ranks. He's an exciting guy, but Dariush is really dangerous. You can't underestimate him at all. And finally, we're joined by Yana Kunitskaya to preview her fight against Kelly Vieira. This fight was supposed to take place on August 1st. I reported it got moved to August 8th. That's exactly what happened. We discussed why it got moved, and she didn't even know, so that's kind of interesting. But we preview the fight, where whatever Ketlin puts in the division, and her thoughts on Amanda Nunes and what she thinks is next for Amanda Nunes. Hope you guys enjoy this show. We're now joined by UFC heavyweight Alexei Oleinik, who headlines an upcoming card against Derek Lewis. Alexei, how's it going?
Hi, guys. I'm good, thank you.
When did you find out about this fight?
Say it again. What?
When did you find out about this fight?
No, understand.
When did you first get offered this fight?
We speak about this fight a couple times. We speak with matchmakers, UFC. I ask UFC, give me please this fight, but UFC propose this fight after 2 weeks after my previous fight with Fabricio Werdum. I said, guys, 2 weeks is not seriously. This not good idea. If you paid a little bit more money, yes, I take this fight. If no, sorry. And they don't answer nothing. And after one and a half months, they said, propose again about this fight. But this was better. Better time. I have time for rehab, for prepare this fight.
Are you?
I just got a proposition for this fight maybe 1.5 months ago.
Are you glad you're fighting Derek Lewis?
I am.
Are you happy with this opponent?
Yes. Derek Lewis, a big guy. He have big name. He very high in top ranking. This cool guy, and I think this is a cool fight for me. Because now I ask about cool name. This is my goal number one. I don't need easy fights, easy opponents. I don't ask no name. I ask only big name with history, with like this.
What's it like to be the main event?
Everything good, everything like, but I don't like a 5 round. Because the 5 rounds for heavyweight is a very difficult game, and I hope we finish before 5 rounds.
5 rounds is tiring.
Yeah, of course. It's terrible difficult.
What was it like to beat a legend like Werdum in your last fight?
I think about this fight maybe 3 or 4 years. A couple times I ask UFC about this fight. I ask of my social media, please give me Verdum. But sometimes Verdum was too high for me. Sometimes he suspended from USADA, and I wait more than 2 years. It's happened. It's happened. This was cool fight because Verdum really legend. He legend of grappling. He legend of jiu-jitsu. And I said before fight we must decide from kung fu is better. Why kung fu on kung fu, Fabricio? And thanks God we win.
How do you see this fight playing out?
Say it again.
How do you see it playing out against Derek?
I don't know. I playing 2-3 variant this fight. But I still don't know what I doing number one. But I hope I am ready fighting the standing. I ready fight on the ground. I am ready for any variant.
Do you want a submission win?
I won't win. This no matter submission or something else, any fighter, any real fighter won't win. This my goal number one. No matter which type of win, this submission, choke, KO, score, judge decision, no matter win, this win.
How far away from a title do you think you are?
I don't think about title now because most important fight for me, this is my nearest fight. When I fight with Fabrizio Verdum, this was my important fight. When I fight with Maurice Green, most important fight. And I think only about this fight. I don't think about what I'm doing after fight. If I win, if I lose, no matter. Most important goal number one, only this fight. Ask me about my fight with Derek Lewis, I said you. But now this, I think not good idea. Ask what is you do if you win, if you no win. There's no, I don't understand in that.
If you win this, it's 60 career wins. What's that going to be like? Because a lot of people don't even get 60 fights.
I won't tell this about everybody. Guys, it's very, very difficult. If you try fight 1, 2, 3 times, you understand what I mean. Because if you win... If you fight five times, this good professional career. If you fight 15, 20, 25 times, yeah, you very experienced fighter. If you fight 60, 50, 70 times, this incredible. Incredible experience. I smile for you, I'm kidding, joke, this, yes, of course. But really, this is very, very difficult.
How much longer do you see yourself going?
Not too much, maybe 7-10 years.
Then that's not too much?
Yes, that's not too much. No, nobody know how much. Maybe 1 year, maybe 5 years, I don't know. If I feel good, I feel good condition, I feel good head, good hand, no problem. I ready for fight. I sparring in gym with young guys, with cool guys, with many, many big names from UFC, from Bellator, ONE FC, and I feel good. I'm no worst from this many, many guys. If I am worst from these guys, yes, of course, maybe I must retire. If I no worst, Maybe I'm no better, but I'm no worse. I'm medium, but I have a very big experience. I have my favorite technique. I have my favorite submission or chokes, and this is my very, very strong side of my technique.
Derek is a guy who knocks out everyone, but would you want to turn it on him and try to knock him out?
I don't know. Nobody know. But I can try everything.
Are you training at ATT?
Yes, I'm training at ATT last 3.5 year.
What's it like to be there still?
Say it again.
Who are you working with?
I work with my partners now. This David Moultrie and Said Soma. These young and very strong guys. But sometime I work with Junior Rotsigano, with Andrew Orlovsky, Marcela Golm, Thiago Moreta, and many, many other guys. Very big, very strong guys with good technique, with good names, with Greg Hardy, many guys.
Fighting in front of no fans again, what's that going to be like?
Ask please again.
What's it going to be like to fight in front of no fans?
Really, for me, this is not too different. With fans or without fans. Because I fight, I'm not communication with fans when I going to fight. You think only about your opponent, you watch only for cage, you don't look around, you don't say, hi guys, hello John, hello Annie. No, I don't speak with, I no communication with this guy. I love my fans, I have honored for any fans of mixed martial arts, but I have no communication with fans when I'm going to fight, my fight. I communication on social media, I communication before fight, I communication after fight. But when you fight me, my opponent, cage, that's all. I don't see nothing, I don't feel nothing, and I don't pay my attention for everybody.
Did you want to fight on Fight Island?
Yes, this was a good idea, and I won't fight. But I think we fight on the Las Vegas in Apex. This is good too for me. No matter, because this interested fly to Dubai, fly and fight to Fight Island. Yes, but in Las Vegas, no acclimatization. I feel better. This short fly, not too big fly, yes. And if you think like a professional, you think, yes, this way more easy for my body, for my acclimatization, for everything. And maybe this prefer for me now.
Have you been working on your English? It's a lot better.
I don't work special English many years. I just communication with my sparring partners, with my coaches in gym. That's all.
You've gotten a lot better even just since I talked to you like 2 months ago.
Thank you.
Little
better than you speak Russian, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know how to speak Russian. Well, Alexei, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're joined by ranked UFC lightweight Benil Dariush, who fights Scott Holtzman. Benil, how's it going?
Going well, my brother. Going well.
Last time we saw you, you obviously was that last event with fans. Is it surreal to look back to think you were a part of that last event with fans?
I haven't given it too much thought until recently, but it is, you know, I mean, to think next time I go in there, it's going to be like a sparring, it's going to have the same amount of noise as a sparring practice. I'm going to hear my coaches scream, hear his coaches scream, and I will not hear a single fan scream. Personally, I think I'm going to enjoy it, but you never know till it's over.
Was that kind of perfect timing for that fight? Just because right after it, the pandemic really started to take place. The UFC canceled a bunch of events, and you just fought, so you weren't itching to get back in there right away.
Man, it was honestly, it couldn't have been a bigger blessing, because imagine, like, the pandemic hits, I had to shut down my gym, and just training was getting difficult, finding people to train with, everything. Imagine if I had to fight in, like, May or June, it would have been very difficult. So very grateful I got to fight in March.
And you also got the 50,000 bonus. How big was that over this time when a lot of people weren't able to work?
Yeah, man, that $50,000 bonus, you know, I just bought a house. Again, gym was shut down for a while, all these things. So I can put it towards those things and just keep everything going as it should be, and hoping this is going to be over sometime soon.
And you're fighting Scott Holtzman August 8th. Was this kind of the time frame you were looking for?
I was, either August or July. I had told the UFC, you know, that we were able to start training pretty much normal recently, I would say in June. And I told the UFC I would fight July or August or September. I just needed a date and a name. And spoke with Sean Shelby, and Scott Holtzman is what we got.
Are you not, like, disappointed? Because obviously Scott is a guy that he's been around the sport, but are you disappointed isn't a ranked guy just because you are on a 4-fight winning streak, you have a number beside your name?
Extremely disappointed. No disrespect to Scott. I understand how tough he is. I understand how hardworking he is, and how long he's been in this game. But, you know, I had to sit there with Sean Shelby and be like, what about this guy? And Sean would be like, he's booked. What about this guy? Not interested. What about this guy? He's booked. And this guy, not interested. It was very frustrating. Very frustrating. And it put a bad taste in my mouth, but you know, I appreciate the fact that there's still guys out there outside the top 15 that want to fight me. So I know I always have someone to fight.
Do you think part of the reason is the lightweight division at the top like seven, is so clogged where none of those guys are fighting? So then no one below the top seven wants to fight someone below. Do you think that's what makes it even harder for you?
Yeah, I when I was young, I used to think people are scared to fight. It's not an issue of fear. These men risk their lives every time they fight. I think it's as I get older, as I become more civilized, I understand it's more of a risk reward kind of thing. If you're gonna put your life on the line, the risk and the reward should match. And I think that's what it is with these guys. They don't look at me as a big enough reward to take up the fight.
And you're a guy, your past three wins have been by stoppage. How much do you think that adds to your stock, where you're now a guy that, for the fans, that they're expecting a finish now when you're fighting?
It's a good question. You know, the way I'm training right now, I just assume every fight is going to be like that. Honestly, being healthy, being able to just be in the gym all the time and training so hard, I just assume I'm going to have a finish. So if the fans expect that, guess what? So do I. There's no pressure there. And as far as adding to my stock, you know, we're renegotiating our contract right now. So I'm hoping it adds quite a bit.
Are you gonna wait until after the fight to renegotiate then?
No. We're renegotiating now. Typically, from my experience, we renegotiate before the contract is completely over. So one fight before the fight, we renegotiate. And right now we're in talks with the UFC and seeing how that's going. So for me, this is a little strange because we're still negotiating, and so I actually still don't have a contract. I still haven't signed a contract that's saying I'm fighting Scott, and it's definitely a strange feeling, but I understand the process, so just kind of being patient and not getting too anxious about it.
Do you think there is a chance that something falls through and you won't fight Scott just because the contract's negotiations fall through?
I highly doubt it, but I think if I don't end up fighting Scott, it would be more likely because somebody else needs a fight and somebody higher ranked. And again, no disrespect to Scott, but they need someone. They need me to fight someone higher ranked, and they call me for that. That would be more likely than the contract's not going through. But you never know, man. Crazy days we're living in.
Is Scott Holton too coming off a win over Jim Miller? Everyone knows he's a very powerful striker. Is the game plan then just to get him down to the ground? Because that's your world once you get someone down to the ground.
I think I have a big advantage on the ground for sure. But I, from what I've seen, I think I also have an advantage in the striking. So I'm not in a rush to do one or the other. I'm going to go out there and just be comfortable. That's my game plan, is be comfortable and kind of feel the fight.
I know after the Hernandez fight, you took a bit of time off because I think it was it a neck injury you had?
Yeah, I mean, I've had neck injuries for so long now. I've had neck injuries for I think like 3 years maybe. So yeah, I did take some time off after that fight. It was a neck injury, and I've had this neck thing forever, and still looking to figure out what I can do about it. I've done so much physical therapy that I'm able to perform like I should, but it doesn't change the fact that I still have nagging issues. Sometimes pain, sometimes tightness, sometimes immobility, things like that.
I remember you saying in one interview that after that time off, you really started to realize you could take a punch. So how much better do you think you've been now on the feet? Just because that Hernandez fight, it happened so quickly. Then since you took that time off, you've taken those big shots. You just keep going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about it. I was young, and I didn't realize your neck is what holds your head. And if your neck is not that great, if your foundation is not that great, you're not going to be able to take a punch, because it was never an issue in training before. Even though my neck was hurting, I was sparring all the time and everything was fine. And just one of those things that I had to learn the hard way. As my health went down, so did my career.
What's it been like for you? Because since that point, you've really rebounded. Four wins, and not just four wins, but four really tough guys. Like Drew Dober, who we see is ranked. We've seen what he's done. Then you're knocked out to Jakar Close. Like, what's it been like for you to see that happen? Like, your career just come back.
It's been quite amazing, man. I remember I went 2 years without a win. It was a loss to Barbosa, a draw with Evan Dunham, and a loss to Hernandez. And those were some of the hardest times I've had. And I just remember just feeling like I'm in a desert and I'm lost. But I felt, you know, in tough times, I feel closest to God. I felt very close to God. And that relationship really helped me just stay focused, stay where I need to stay, and come back to win. I remember my first fight I came back was against Thiago Moises, and I had never been that nervous before. I had so much fear. I had so much anxiety before the fight. I was so close to just calling it, being like, I can't do this. Just saying like, I'm not able to. I just from the anxiety. So it was a really tough time getting over it, getting to this point right now. It's absolutely amazing. And I can't wait to see what God has in plan for me.
With this fight, how do you see it playing out? Because to me, this is a fight where, again, I think if you take down the ground, there's probably a good chance to get a submission win.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think he's actually never been finished, now that you mention it. And he's fine.
He is not. His three losses are Drew Dober, Josh Emmett, Nick Lentz, all by decision.
Yeah, and he's fought some good grapplers. Nick Lentz is an excellent grappler. So, you know, I'm not thinking like I'm just going to take this guy down and submit him right away. Just if I did that, it'd be foolish. Look at it on paper, it just doesn't make sense. So I think it might be a similar fight to where it's like Jakar Close, where I'm looking for the finish. I don't get the finish, and then game plan goes out the window, and it might turn into a brawl. So I got to be ready for all of it, man. That's the way I look at it, because it's nice to go as game plan. Like, I think I've had only maybe one fight go as game plan, and that was the Frank Camacho fight. I've never it never goes the way I want it to go. So not going to overthink the game plan. Just try to go out there and not be too civilized.
With Scott though, like we mentioned, not a ranked guy, but what do you think a win, and if you get a finish win, does for you and puts you in this division?
It's strange because of the inactivity. I might actually shoot up quite a bit. A lot of guys, like you mentioned, are inactive. So if I do get a good performance, I might go up. I think I'm 15 or 14 right now. I might go up to like 11 or something, or maybe 10. And then that allows me to challenge guys, I don't know, somewhere between 7 to 9 or 6 to 9, those guys. And then hopefully I can pull something off like that, because I just don't want to have this fight and, God willing, no injuries, and just sit out and do nothing. You know, I'm the kind of guy who, because the idea of fighting higher ranked opponents was available, but I would have to wait either till the end of the year or next year, and that just wasn't an option for me. So hopefully something's going to be available for me at the end of the year.
What do you think fight week's going to be like for you? Because obviously you're going to have to like quarantine your room, all the COVID tests. It's going to be new for you. Like, do you think that's going to throw a wrinkle into fight week?
I think so a little bit, because, for example, when I went with Giga, I cornered Giga, and I was supposed to corner Marvin in Florida, but he didn't fight in Florida. When I cornered Giga in Florida, it wasn't that bad, but I haven't done it in Vegas. I know Vegas is a little bit more strict than Florida, so it should be interesting, especially for me. I like to go out, and I like to walk around when I don't have a fight, because I hate to just sit in my room and just wait till the fight. It's so boring, and it drives you nuts.
Giga, he obviously is fighting on this card. It's been reported. What's that going to be like, having a teammate and someone around your weight class to work with to help in the lead-up to this one?
Yeah, I mean, we fought. It's crazy, man. He's a man on a mission. So we fought in March together, and he decided to fight, I believe, in May. So he jumped in and fought in May, and now he's fighting again. And man, good for him. It's great to have Giga. I've been helping him as much as I can with every practice, and he's been helping me. So it's wonderful to have such a good partner. Iron sharpens iron kind of situation. But right now, the guys we're fighting are stylistically so different. So that's another thing we have to keep in mind as well.
How important is Giga? Because just you two train together, like, you're obviously so good on the ground. Giga's that kickboxer. So you guys can really, like, you can help him grappling, he can help you kickboxing. Do you think that's like that perfect training partner for you?
Yeah, we definitely feed off of each other. For example, today I'm going to have sparring, and it's going to be small gloves, more focused on grappling. And, you know, if Giga ever gets the better of me in these practices, he'll hold it over me for forever. And then Fridays we have big gloves sparring, and it's the painful one. So typically Giga gets the better of me in that one. So if I can get the better of him on Friday, then you bet your butt I'm going to keep it over him. You know, I'm going to hold it over him. So it's that kind of situation too. You know, we're both very competitive, and we push each other. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're improving so much.
Just a couple more things. We've seen, like, just like Giga, they're really turning to these American-based fighters to fight often. So barring everything goes well, like, when would the ideal time for him to have your next fight be?
So let's say August. Ideally this year, sometime before the end of the year. I wouldn't want to wait till next year if I can. But, man, it's strange times right now. And my management and my coach, they're a little bit upset with the fact that I'm not getting ranked opponents. So they might make me sit out for a while just so I can get a ranked opponent. But we'll see, man. They also know me, and they know how hard I'm training. They don't want that training just to go to waste. Be like, you know, what's the point of training this hard if you're just gonna stay home and not fight?
Well, that's what I did want to say. Say they come to you, you beat Holtzman, they come to you again, another ranked guy, say in December, or you can fight a ranked guy in like April. Would you wait that long to fight that ranked guy?
Man, April sounds like another world. Like, it doesn't even sound like especially with COVID, I feel like every day is 5 days. So, man, April sounds like an eternity away. I really don't know if I could. I don't think I could wait that long. So my coaches would really have to be on top of me for that. So I can't answer you, bro. I can't give you an answer personally. I don't think I would wait.
And just last thing, lightweight division is super stacked. A lot of big names. Do you have your eye on anyone of not even next, but just down the line you want to test yourself against?
I really enjoyed the fight between Dustin Poirier and Dan Hooker. It'd be cool if I can fight one of those guys. I mean, what a beautiful fight that was. You know, that's definitely something I would like to do. Who else is there? Charles Oliveira. He looks amazing. Let's see. I fought Diego already, but that would be a cool fight. But yeah, the one fight I would really like would be either Dan Hooker or Charles. Dan Hooker or Dustin. Those guys looked amazing their last fight.
All right, well, Benil, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
No problem, brother. No problem.
All right, we're joined by UFC lightweight Scott Holtzman, who fights Benil Dariush. Scott, how's it going?
Going good, Cole. It's good to see you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for doing this, Kenny. Let's get into your fight. Benil Dariush, big name, ranked guy. When you got the call to fight him, like, what was that like?
It was perfect, man. I've been looking for the best opponents I could get. Obviously, I want somebody who doesn't want to grapple at all and just wants to strike. But, you know, Dariush has a pretty well-rounded game, but he's in the rankings. So I'm just going to keep picking guys off, keep moving up the ladder. So I'm excited about the fight, though, man. He always brings it. He throws down. Obviously, you know, there's not much I need to say about him. He's well-credentialed. So all you guys know what you're getting.
The UFC still hasn't announced where this fight's taking place. Do you know if it's in Vegas or are you going to Abu Dhabi? Like, or is that still what they're kind of deciding?
No, they're all in Vegas. August and September, all their events, anything in the U.S. is in Vegas, only at the Apex Center.
And your last fight in February, was that kind of perfect timing for all this? You got paid, got a fight, and then when everything was shutting down, like, you weren't even ready to take a fight at that point anyways.
Yeah, no, it was perfect timing. I got lucky. I was, you know, sitting on some money and, you know, I got a little bit of time to rest and kind of heal up. And I was looking to fight anyway. They were telling me I was going to fight in July. So August 8th, not that much later. So hadn't been a bad break for me. It kind of worked out as good as it could.
And your last fight was obviously that massive win over Jim Miller. Like, looking back on that, is it still surreal to say you fought and beaten Jim Miller? Like, that guy's a legend of this sport.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy when you get matched up with these guys or you agree to a fight, you're like, oh, you know, this guy's so good. You know, Jim Miller, he's going into the Hall of Fame. And then when you come out on the other end and, you know, you beat the guy or, you know, whatever happens, you're like, all right, well, that wasn't too bad. He wasn't as, you know, so you try not to make it out to be bigger than it is in your head, but that's a win over a guy that I'll certainly look back on, and that'll be a good feather in my cap.
Let's get into your fight. Dariush, 4-fight winning streak. He's looked really impressive since he had that, like, loss to Barboza Hernandez and that draw to Dunham. Like, what have you taken away from his last couple of fights? Because before, the big concern was, can Dariush take a punch? And he proved in that close fight he can take a punch now.
Yeah, he can take a punch, but he didn't take a punch that well. He almost got knocked down. He got wobbled. You know, a little more discipline there, he could have been finished. But he gets hit a lot. That's what I took away from it. But he's also an incredible grappler. All his grappling credentials speak for themselves. So I'm looking to keep it clean, keep it crisp. You know, defend and try and put the fight where I'm best. But he's shown time and time again that he's there to be hit. So I'm swinging, baby.
Do you think this is a fight where he's going to try to take you down?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. He'll probably shoot early and often. But I'm not going to discredit what he does on the feet. He's a good well-accomplished striker. Obviously, he's been toe-to-toe with Barboza and any of those guys. So it's not a striker versus grappler matchup or anything like that. But he's definitely going to shoot. I'm ready for that. I was ready for that last fight and really every fight. So it'll be coming, especially after I hit him once or twice.
Do you think that first takedown attempt will be a really big one? Because if you stuff that, that's probably going to hurt his confidence a little, not knowing he can't get you down.
Yeah, I mean, I think every time, either if I don't stuff it, when I pop back up, that's a little tick off his power meter, a little tick off his confidence level. So that's going to be key, stuffing those takedowns, popping back up, being patient, knowing he's going to be there, and just biding my time. So that's definitely a key part of the fight. I think anybody can look at that and see.
Darius is a guy that's been finished before. We obviously know you have a ton of knockout power. Like, is this a fight you think you can get another knockout?
I think it's always capable. I mean, I know I hit hard. You know, it's just a matter of finding the right spot, and it's just a matter of when. Also, I'm going to hit you. You're going to hit me. That's kind of how I do it. I do it old Western style. So whoever can stay up the longest is probably going to get the win.
And he is a ranked guy, so how important do you think this fight is? Just because lightweight's so stacked, it's hard to get those shots at ranked guys.
Yeah, I mean, you work for years and years to get up at a ranked guy, so you gotta take advantage of an opportunity. He's kind of already been up there really high, and he's falling back down. Now he's climbing back up. He's looking real good again. You know, I think maybe he's figuring out his game again, but he's fought all the best in the world, so. I think he kind of had his chance. I'm moving up now. I'm gonna take a run at the rankings. So he's in a spot that I want. So it's gonna be a dogfight.
You are 36, but you're like a young 36 in fighting. You haven't been around that long. Do you think that's gonna be a benefit for you, where you can go a lot longer than a lot of these guys that are already at 35, 36, and they're near the end of their careers?
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously started late, so I don't have as much mileage on my body, and hadn't taken a ton of damage in fights and all that. So I work really hard at this too. I take it real serious. I eat right. I stay in shape. I train real hard. I try not to cut any corners. So, you know, it's starting to pay off for me a little bit. I'm still feeling really good, even at 36, and still fighting at a real high level. So, that's why the fans are liking it lately.
With all this COVID stuff, were you able to go down to Tennessee and train out there, or where were you doing your camp?
I was in Knoxville. Through the camp, I wasn't on the mat much, but there was another – I'm friends with another group of – or a small group of professional athletes, an MLB player and a PGA player. So we all kind of committed to working out and staying in shape. So we worked out 6 days a week. So I'm in excellent shape fitness-wise, and – now I've transitioned back onto the mat for 4 or 5 weeks now. So I'll be in good shape. I always am. I have to be for the way I fight. So I'll be in good shape, and I plan on emptying the gas tank.
With all this going on, you see a lot more fighters fighting up a weight class or trying to get catch weight. Was that ever a thought for you, or was it always cutting down to 55?
No, I mean, that's a thought. It's been a real thought for a while now. I mean, I wouldn't mind doing 70 if they had a 170 short guy division, I'd sign up for it. Or if they put a division in between, I'd be the first one to do it. But like I said, I do everything right. I'm disciplined, so I'll make the weight. I'm about 5 or 6 pounds off my goal with still plenty of time here. So I'll be there and fighting in tip top shape.
You're the betting underdog here. You're the underdog in a lot of fights. Like, why do you think people always overlook you?
Oh, well, I mean, he's been there before. He's already been in the rankings. He's up in the rankings now. People tend to see that number by their name and pick that guy. So, and I've struggled with a couple grapplers in the past, so I could see that, but I'm sure up a lot of holes in my game. And, you know, you're only as good and I mean, you just have to prove yourself in this game. So I'll just go pick him off. I tend to do better when I'm the underdog.
Do you think this is a big, like, statement fight for you, so you can finally stop all those questions of, oh, can Scott stop a takedown? Oh, how's Scott going to fare when he faces a grappler? All those questions.
I guess so. But, Yeah, I mean, you know how it goes, man. The fans are never happy. So, you know, once I beat him, they're going to say, oh, well, you know, well, this guy could take Scott down, or this guy could out-grapple him, or what happens if Scott faces, you know, the champ? And so people are never satisfied, man. As long as I'm happy with myself and what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, I'm good, man. I don't need any validation from the peanut gallery.
And event scheduled for the Apex, smaller octagon there. How do you think that's going to play a factor in this fight?
It's going to be better for him. You know, he wants to grab me. He needs to get me to the ground, all that. So be better for him. But, you know, I also like to scrap a little bit too. So he's going to be forced to be a little bit closer to me as well. And so it could work both ways.
And you're a guy, you've been on some massive cards like UFC 195, UFC 229, which is like one of the biggest fights UFC's ever done. You've been in front of those massive audiences to now fighting in front of no fans. Like, how different and strange will that be?
It'd be a little strange. I think I'll like it, though. It'll be nice to be able to actually hear your corner and be nice and relaxed in there. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. It takes a lot of pressure away out of the way. Friends and family not asking for free tickets, and fans asking for tickets, and all people needing and wanting stuff from you. So there's a lot of pressures that aren't there. That's, you know, it's a really nice feeling.
And with Benil, like, he's obviously that a higher known guy, but like a win over here, like, where do you think that puts you in the division? Because that's, you're gonna have a number, and then from there it's a lot of big name guys.
Yeah, I mean, it just exactly what you said, puts me in the mix with big name guys, which is why I started doing this. I'm a competitor. I'm an athlete. I didn't do this just to come in the UFC two fights and then barbecue. I'm up here to compete with the best. And, you know, if I beat him, that puts me in his spot. And then who's next? Only guys ahead of me. So, you know, we'll see.
Not even talking next, but is there some guys at lightweight you want to fight down the line just to test your skills against them?
Yeah, I hadn't really thought ahead of that. I've got a really big test in front of me here. So, I mean, Benil's a guy that, you know, my very first fight in the UFC, he was the co-main event. So he's been around, he's battle tested, he's proven, he's a veteran. So it's another test, just like Jim Miller. So I'll get past him and then zero in on the next guy.
Do you think the UFC is starting to trying to build you up? Because they're giving you these name guys. Like, they gave you Tung Ho Ma. Now they're giving you Jim Miller. Now they're giving you Benil Dariush. It's like three pretty big names back to back to back. Like, do you think the UFC see something in you and they're trying to build you up?
I mean, I think so. I think they've tried to build me up a couple times in the past, and I've just had some untimely losses. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, you still got to win fights. They're not handing me the wins. So, and they're definitely not letting me pick my fights. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just fighting whoever they put in front of me and trying to knock them down and make some money while I'm at it.
And now that Fight Island is obviously announced as Abu Dhabi, any interest in competing on the island? Or are you looking at just those Vegas cards?
No, I'm looking at Vegas only. I don't want to go over there and fight at 3 a.m. and have to quarantine 2 weeks when I get home and then have to pay international taxes. I like Vegas. There's no state income tax. It's pretty easy trip. I don't have to quarantine. And Vegas is a cool city. So maybe when the quarantine's over, I'd like to go to Abu Dhabi. That'd be fun.
Your last fight was one of like the last three or four events with all the fans and stuff. So this will be your first time with the COVID testing. Like, what are you going to think about that, getting all that testing, being quarantined in your room for all that time?
It's not a big deal. I don't do much on fight week anyway. So, I mean, to be in my room is not a big deal. And, you know, they set the rooms up from what I'm hearing. They set the rooms up with the training room and all that. So, not that much different. I'll be prepared for it. I don't go out and sightsee or any shit like that anyway. So,
how far of a trip will it be to Vegas for you? Like, are you just going to, like, do the UFC send you on a flight, or do you have to go on, like, a public flight to get there?
No, you fly. You fly. It's about a 4-hour flight. It's not bad.
And with the way the UFC is really going is, for these Apex cards, they're really getting American fighters to turn around quick. Like, you're seeing fighters make 2-3 quick week turnarounds. Like, barring everything goes well, would you want him that quick of a turnaround, or do you like having that full camp?
We'll see. You know, if I can stay in shape, and obviously there's a lot of money there to be made, so I'm gonna get in and get it while the getting's good. So if I feel good and you know, ready to do it again, I'll do it. There's a lot of opportunity right now, a lot of money to be made, so better do it while I still can.
Is there ever any thoughts of you of taking short notice welterweight fights, or do you think you'd just be too small to do those?
I took one short notice fight, well, shorter notice, against Drew Dober early on. Second fight in my career. It was about 3 weeks notice. And after that, I was like, I'll never take a short notice fight again, because you come in, you're not in shape. You know, you got to cut the weight. And then, you know, everybody thinks you're doing the UFC a favor. But, I mean, after about a couple weeks, nobody even remembers that you took the fight on short notice. And then they look back at your record and just – they see where Drew Dober beat you, and they think, oh, well, he beat him fair and square. Well, you know, I had 3 weeks to cut 30 pounds and, you know, coming off an injury and so on and so forth. So you make, you know, you don't make those excuses at the time, but you learn as you get older. You're like, maybe I'll just wait for a training camp. Those short notice fights aren't really worth it. I don't make any more money. I don't really get any special clout or don't get any extra favors from it. So I'll just wait for the next one and wait for a full camp.
Yeah, they should have something on like Wikipedia or Tapology, like a little star that says took on short notice or something.
Yeah. Yeah, they should. But unfortunately, nobody cares after a couple weeks.
And with this fight, like we mentioned, Beniel, ranked guy, he's a tough guy. Like, do you think we've seen him submit a lot of guys, but do you think this, if you do get a stoppage over him, like, do you think that holds more weight than just getting at a decision win? Because we've seen him lose decision laws. We've seen him lose in the distance before.
Yeah, I think a finish is always weighs a little more. You know, I've had a mix of finishes and decisions. So, but everybody likes to see a finish, man. That's the, you know, the crowd likes that. I like that, honestly. I don't want to fight for 15 minutes. I don't think anybody does. So, I mean, you know me, man. I'm gonna throw fight-ending shots round after round. I'm always gonna swing big, you know. But I got to try to stay within myself. But I'm definitely gonna try to take his block off. That's for damn sure.
And we've seen since the UFC came back, they've been doing like killer numbers for ratings and stuff. Does that excite you? Where there's gonna be a lot more people watching you fight than normal?
Yeah, but you can't really think about that, man. You just got to go out there and focus and do your thing. Obviously there aren't many sports on right now, so there a lot of people are watching, so it's a big opportunity. But like you said earlier, I've been on some big cards, I've been in some big TV spots, yada yada yada. So it's no different, man. The film crews are the same. There won't be a crowd there. It'll be just business as usual.
And just last thing, this is obviously another big fight for you. Like, do you think after this, you're going to start getting these co-main event spots and start getting these main event fights?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, my dream, obviously after I win this, my dream is to, you know, main event or co-main event in Nashville. I'd love to do that. I got a big following, obviously, in Tennessee. So I'd love to do that one day if we ever get back to fans and traveling again. Who knows, but would love to do that.
Yeah, they didn't really go to Nashville all that often. They don't have a place to be a party to have a UFC event.
Yeah, sorry.
All right,
well, Brian Barberina yelling. He's here. he's starting his training camp too. So he was trying to get a laugh out of me.
Is he someone you're working with for this camp then?
Yeah, he's here. He's getting back. He's fighting in about 9 weeks. So. We stay at the same place in training camp when we're over in Charlotte.
All right. Well, Scott, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Cole. It's good to talk to you, man, and take care of yourself.
Yeah, you as well.
All right.
All right. We're now joined by ranked women's bantamweight Yana Kunitskaya. Yana, how's it going?
Everything good, thank you.
Where are you right now? Are you out in Florida?
Yeah, in Florida. We just arrived yesterday.
And is this to start your camp or just finish up your camp?
Yeah, we're gonna. I'm gonna finish my camp, and Tiago gonna start his camp here.
Yeah. What's up? For a while now, and you guys are fighting pretty close together. Like, is that gonna be cool? Are you gonna be in the gym together, both preparing for a fight?
Yeah, and good that it's not the same time, because he can help me now, and after my fight, I can help him to prepare. So, like, I think timing perfect.
Would you ever want to share a card with Tiago?
First, we thought it will be good, like preparing together, then we're gonna have some rest together, travel. But then we decided that no, I want that he stay in my corner, and probably in his fight I will be in his corner, and we're gonna be like too nervous, you know, for each other. So we were thinking that it's not a good idea.
And how difficult has it been for him just having those double knee surgeries, coming so close to winning the title, dethroning John Jones, and then having to spend over a year and a half off because of his injuries?
Sure, it was so hard mentally when he was like, make questions about this, he can be 100% back. But when after some time, when his knee starts to feel better, like when it was maybe close to 90%, he start feel like so motivated when fights start be like close. He can see that he can fight maybe like August, September. So it motivate him so much, and now mentally much easier than before.
Well, let's get into your fight, Caitlin Vieira. Was this someone you had your eye on, of a possible opponent?
Not really. I was looking anyone who more high in ranking. And Caitlin was one of the options. And, you know, in this time when it's pandemic, we was thinking that we're happy with any option, like with any opportunity.
And you just said your fight got moved. How come it got moved to the 8th?
Sorry, again?
How come your fight got moved from the 1st to the 8th?
I don't know any information. Just ask me if I can fight 1 week after. And for me, it's good. I have more time to like acclimatization, for like fix everything here. I didn't ask why. For me, it's perfect.
And your last fight was obviously the loss to Ladd. Were you hoping to return sooner than that? Just because it has been a couple months since we last saw you fight.
I'm sorry again, please.
Were you hoping to return sooner than the last fight?
Yeah, sure. I asked fight before, but this pandemic happened, and I was stuck in Brazil. It was hard to move to USA because of like close. It was really hard. But I prefer to fight maybe every 4 months.
With Vieira, like, how do you see this fight playing out?
I think we have a good game plan, and preparing, like in any fight, we're preparing for any situation, if it's like will be striking or ground game, preparing for everything, like seeing a lot of holes and opportunities, and they'll try to use it.
Do you think this is a fight you have to keep standing, because everyone knows how good her ground game is?
Sure, I'll try to stand, but I can't see like very big problem if we're going in the ground.
You have a lot of good wins, so where do you think a win over Caitlin puts you in this division?
We're pretty close. I think she's number 7, I'm number 8, so this win probably gonna move me just a little bit up.
And during this pandemic, a lot of the talk was Fight Island. Were you hoping to be on one of those Fight Island cards?
No. For me, better to fight here in Vegas.
You didn't want to do that, travel to Abu Dhabi?
No, it's so hard. I don't like when it's fights, traveling, flying, a lot of acclimatization, very hot there. For me, good that if we fight in Vegas, it's close, like UFC PI is there, so everything's so comfortable, weight cut comfortable.
And
for me, it's better.
And in Vegas, is the smaller octagon. How do you think that's going to play a factor?
I fought a lot in small octagon before UFC, so in small cage before UFC, so I feel comfortable about this.
And you're someone, you've even fought for a UFC title before. You have a ton of experience. You've got prepared for 5 rounds. Like, how important do you think that's been now in your later on in your UFC career, where you've you fought some of these top girls.
Yes, and especially if this fight for UFC title got a lot of pressure on me, and that was a good experience because mentally now any other fight more easy. Because like must bad thing happened, it was short notice, other weight class plus like Cyborg big name, so I got a lot of pressure. So now I can handle everything much more easy for me.
Who are the main people you're working with for this camp?
Sure, Tiago, my main coach now, and in Brazil we had some good girls from UFC, my sparring partners, and like some small guys, and Tata, it's Tiago coach, helped me too. We had a lot of like so good team, I can't complain.
How important has Tiago been, where you guys are obviously dating, but he understands what a weight cut's like, what fight week's like for you, like how important is that for you?
Yes, sure, it's so important, and this thing helped me so much, and mentally, physically, with everything, so comfortable, because we can train in any place, even when it was locked down, we was keep training, and it was like much better trainings than I had before, and especially that he fighting too, he understand when like weight cut, or when I have like bad mood, he understand me, so I think it's gonna help me so much.
And you guys on April 1st posted that pregnancy tweet. How many people do you think fell for that?
Yeah, it was a lot of people. And, you know, until now, when I post something, some people comment, "Ah, but you're pregnant. Well, why are you doing this? Crazy."
What triggered you to do that? Like, were you guys just beside each other and thought, let's just say I'm pregnant?
Yeah, just you know, first April, I said everyone gonna take it more easy, but we got some good comments, but a lot of bad comments. People like was complaining that they believe that it's not good thing to joke, but I can't say anything bad about this.
At the top of your division is Amanda Nunes, who she said she doesn't know if she's gonna keep on fighting. Like, is that someone you hope to fight down the line if she keeps on fighting, just because of she's considered like the best fighter, the best female fighter of all time? You want to test your skills against her?
I can say that she's my number one fight, what I'm searching, you know. It's still a lot of girls above me in the ranking, and absolutely everyone interesting.
Do you have any certain opponents you'd want to fight, or is it just the focus is on Caitlin for right now?
Right now, sure, I focus only on Caitlin, but as I told you, every girl who more high in ranking is so interesting.
You fought at featherweight too. Do you think that's an option for you down the line again, is to jump up to featherweight and take some fights there? Or you just focused on bantamweight?
I fought there because UFC asked me to move, but I feel not comfortable in this division. Like I feel so good in bantamweight.
And this will be your first fight too with no fans. What do you think that's going to be like?
Well, it's perfect for me because I'm getting a little bit nervous when people watching. Sometimes I think I'm so big introvert in life. I like when there's no people to be alone. So for me, it's like one of the best things what can happen.
Will you just view it as another day in the gym pretty much?
Sorry, again?
Will you just kind of view it as just another training day in the gym? It's just like just you and someone else and there's no one watching?
And we will see, because it will be first time when I get this experience. Sure, it's not going to be like just normal training, but I think it's going to make me focus more on fight and have like, when you know, sometimes people react not so good and this voice of someone saying something, sometimes it's affecting me. But here, I think I can focus 100% on fight and show better performance.
The UFC is really turning to fighters that can fight in the States often. Like, how quickly, if everything goes your way, would you want to turn this around?
I have a lot of things to do after fight, so I don't think that I'm going to be back like very fast. First, Tiago have fight, then I need to come back to take my son back to me, and it's going to take like some time. So I think 4 months, it's most quick what possible.
Like, do you think you'll get one more in before the end of the year?
Yeah, probably.
And with Tiago, like, has the UFC told him if he wins this, he's getting another title shot? Because he's someone a lot of people thought should have got a title shot when he came back.
Yeah, you know, no one knows what's going in the division and after this fight. But I think he's number one contender. He or race, and it's everything up to champion when he decides to come back. So no one knows right now what will be this title, this division. We'll see.
And with your division, the bantamweight division has a lot of contenders. Like, you have the whole Maldana fight coming up. Like, you fought Aspen Ladd, but you still haven't fought a lot of the top girls. Like, is that intriguing for you, where there's a lot of fresh matchups for you still?
Yeah, and but right now I'm not thinking sure about this. I'm thinking only about my next fight.
And just last thing, like, Caitlin Vieira, she has a lot of hype behind her. She only has one loss. Like, what do you think a win over her does for you in your career?
I think it's Caitlin, big name. She come after loss, but still she have a lot of good wins, and it's so good matchup for me. And like, anytime, you know, when you win tough opponent, it's so good for me to move up in ranking, and for me personal, when I know that I'm fighting tough girl, it's make win like cost more, you know.
Hey, well, actually, just one more thing is, you're the betting underdog in this fight. Do you pay any attention to that, or does that not bother you?
No, I like to be underdog.
All right, well, Yana, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.